Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good morning. This is our last hurrah. No, it's our last live show for the week. It is a holiday weekend. Can you believe it? Crazy how that happens. Tomorrow we'll be replaying my interview with Pete Socks, the Catholic book blogger, in case you missed it on Tuesday. You can catch it tomorrow, 10 a.m. or 4 p.m. I'm running as a replay on the 4 p.m. slot just for a little while until we get some of our new programming up. So that's kind of exciting, being replayed. I feel so special. Beggars can't be choosers, right? No, just teasing. It's an honor, really, to be replayed on our wonderful station, breadboxmedia.com. New shows coming, rolling those out very soon. And I've been saying that for a while, but you know what? Everything's in God's timing. That's one of the things I've been really, really struggling with lately, is God's timing not quite aligning all the time with my timing. My timing's instantaneous. It doesn't really build a whole lot of virtue and or character when everything is instant gratification. So again, Friday and Monday and Tuesday, all encores while we all enjoy our weekend. I do hope, though, you tune in if you're traveling, breadboxmedia.com, to download the app. Take us wherever you go. If you don't have the app yet, please go to breadboxmedia.com. Download that today. You can listen to us at the beach, driving in the car. You know, my husband says I have the best voice to put you to sleep at night. So if you have insomnia, I'm your girl. I'm just so happy to have you with me. And if you have any questions for today, want to let me know you're there or you want to ask anything, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. That's a text number, too. If you don't want to go on live radio, you can text 573-4BREAD-4. We're going to talk today about Loaded by Heather King. Love this book. Money and the Spirituality of Enough, out from Franciscan Media. Really great stuff. I have a favor to ask, though, before we start reading about Heather's book, Loaded. Have you told your friends yet about A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras? Have you told your friends about Breadbox Media? We really need your help getting the word out. If you've been blessed at all by this network, by the show, first of all, thank you for listening. And I'm so grateful that the Lord has used it to touch your heart and your life in some way. But help us bring this new way of reaching people out to others. Share it. If you are on social media, like A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. Share what I put up there if you can. You know, it doesn't have to be every day, but at least once a week, if you can let people know that you're listening or that we're here, whatever you can do, follow me on Twitter, follow Breadbox Media on Twitter, or Reconcile to You is my Twitter handle. I'm on Instagram, Pinterest. Follow us on all of our social media and help us spread the word. You know, people are searching and they don't always know what they're searching for. I didn't know for a very long time what I was searching for. I thought it was stuff, and I got myself into a lot of trouble financially because it's not stuff and it's not love in all the wrong places. It is in Christ and Christ alone. So to find him doesn't always just happen. Sometimes we need help. Sometimes we need a guide. We need a Sherpa to Jesus. Let us be your Sherpa to Jesus. Help us. Is that how you say that? I don't know. I think of it as Sherpa, sherbet ice cream. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a little hungry today. It is the summer after all and 4th of July weekend. So perhaps that's like an ice cream on my mind. But please, please help us to reach others. Pray for Breadbox Media. Pray for Sinking Heart with Allison Gingras. Know that I always pray for you. I pray for all of your intentions. And if you've got special intentions, just send me a message anytime, Allison@breadboxmedia.com, or you could go to a Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. Anywhere, anytime, you can find me, and I'm always happy to pray for you. So we ask for your prayers. We ask for your help in spreading the word by sharing all of our posts and pictures or whatever you find us putting out there on social media. And last but not least, if you feel so inclined, we'd also love you to go over to breadboxmedia.com while you're downloading the app. You can also check out Friend of the Show. For $10 or more a month, you can become a premium member of whatever Breadbox Media show you enjoy the most or that you want to support. As a premium member of a Seeking Heart, you can get a squirrel or a bracelet or extra entries into a giveaway. I got a huge one coming up from Franciscan Media. Wait till you see. That should be up by the end of today. Anyway, breadboxmedia.com, friend of the show. Thank you for helping us spread the word about Breadbox Media. Commercial over. But thank you for staying for that. Really appreciate it. We're going to be talking about Loaded today. Heather King, incredible book. I had 2 days of a live show this week, and I knew I wanted to do something special, but I didn't know what. And I just kept praying, like, Lord, I know you'll show me what we need to talk about. And then lo and behold, mail comes in. Franciscan Media sends me this great new book, Loaded by Heather King. The irony is that I had pulled off her other book, Stumbled, and I was considering doing that. But this one fit perfectly. Yesterday, we started the conversation. If you missed it, go to breadboxmedia.podbean.com and you can listen to yesterday's show. All the shows actually are archived over on breadboxmedia.podbean.com. And I left off kind of talking about divine providence. And Phil Linehan, the book I'm doing right now with my friends, we just finished the CompassCatholic.org, Evelyn and Jim Bean's book, Managing Your Finances God's Way. Great book. Great small group study. And then we moved on to Phil Linehan's book. And at the end of one of the chapters is this prayer. And basically what I took from it, and the words I remember from it, is divine providence, capital D, capital P, we're talking about God here, has provided. And I was reminded of all the times that we should have been without, and we were not. We should have been hungry. We should have been homeless. We should have been stopped on the... We broke down Thanksgiving Day with a very old, minivan filled with people. But yet God provided. And he provided the money to get us a new van. He provided oil, money for oil and food. He really does take care of us even better than he takes care of the birds, as we read in Matthew 6. He's our loving, loving provider. So divine providence has provided. I believe, the prayer goes on to say, divine providence can provide. Divine providence, I believe, divine providence will provide. And it's that trust. And in this book, Loaded, Heather talks about that. You know, there's a chapter a little bit. There's some good English for you. Oh, goodness. Where she talks about the key word being trust. You know, where is our trust? Our trust lies in the Lord. And that's not always the easiest thing to do, because we're asked to trust somebody we cannot see. But I can guarantee you, if you let him in, if you pray, if you open your heart, you will feel him. You will know that he is there. I was such a doubter. I'm such a worrywart. I worry about pretty much everything. It's my sport. It's what I'm good at. Yep. The Olympics are coming up. It's too bad they don't have competitive worrying. I'd be a medalist, probably the gold medal, because I'm really that good at it. And to believe that God was there with me, that God cared for me, that took a lot. That took a real lot for me to get to that point. And, you know, perhaps because I'm so weak, the Lord needs to send me signs, but I'm so grateful for them. And I don't ever use them as a prophecy, kind of like, send me a butterfly and I'll play those lottery numbers. No. And I don't even at this point ask for them anymore. I'm just so grateful that I get them. But they come to me as like a comfort. Like, Lord, what do you want from me? You know, what is it you're seeking? And it, or, you know, my heart is so troubled. Please just let me know you're with me. Not even the outcome. You know, when I went to the doctor's office a couple months ago, and I was so worried about my health. It's what I do. It's one of my go-to worries, my health. I think that's pretty common for most people. Money, health, relationships. Yeah, that's what we do, right? You know, the paper was covered with roses and butterflies. And it wasn't like I went in saying, Lord, show me that, you know, that I'm going to be okay. It really was just comfort me. And the minute I saw those, I actually laughed out loud. The poor nurse, she must have thought I'd lost my mind. Nervous energy. But he sends me these, you know, these signs, the fidelity tracks. This morning I was doing my rosary walk. I went out really early to do that rosary walk. I'm doing a 54-day rosary novena. You can follow it over at reconciledtoyou.com. Nope. Reconciled to You on Facebook. Too many places to be. I need to focus my energy, I think. You know, I'm just walking the back of the yard, just asking the Lord, like, what is it still that you want from me? And then turn the corner and then the fidelity truck goes by. Those are the things you can't make happen, right? Some people call them coincidences. I call them God-cidences. And they're how I know that God is real, how I see him in the in this world. And I'm in a physical world. I need physical reminders that God is there. And I love that he knows that because he's God, after all. We have the sacraments that give us that tangible sign that God is with us. The priest in the confessional, the oils of baptism, the water of baptism, the oils of confirmation, the words of the Mass, the Eucharist that we can ingest, like all of these things are tangible. We can feel them. We can touch them. We can smell them. We can hear them. God knows that we are a people of senses and he wants us to come to our senses. Oh my goodness, that was funny. Sometimes the Holy Spirit cracks me up. When we come back, we're going to look more at Loaded and our relationship with money. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today about Loaded, Money and the Spirituality of Enough, new from Heather King, Franciscan Media. Go to franciscanmedia.com for more information. We are going to pick up now with the parable of the talents. This is in Matthew 25. And Heather includes the whole thing in here. In case you haven't heard it before, I'm going to read it, kind of maybe paraphrase a little bit as I go through. But I want to really share with you the parable of the talents. One of the things that I felt like the Lord has made very clear to me is that he wants me in the scriptures and he wants me sharing the scriptures with others. It was the scriptures that brought me back to the faith and grew my relationship with him. So it makes only sense that when I'm trying to share with you and help you get closer to Christ, that I also share the scriptures. So the parable of the talents. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave five, to another two, another one, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received five talents went and traded with them and gained five more. In the same manner, the one who had received two gained two more, but the one who received one went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came back, settled accounts with them. The one who had received five came up and brought five more, saying, Master, you entrusted five talents to me. See how I have gained five more for you. Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. I love that line. Let's just read that one more time. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. He says that to the second one as well. But to the one who had received one and hid it, master, I knew, he said, you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I do not seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and upon arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give to him the one who has the 10. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance, but from one who does not have, even what he does shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into your outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, on the surface, this seems kind of harsh. Like, what do you mean, if I have nothing, you're going to take away from me? But if you see the lesson from those who God gave, like, listen to this line. From everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. Like, God gives us talents, like, and not just, like, in this case, the talent is the word of the coin, but in, like, let's think about this. We have time, talent, and treasure, right? And the Lord gives us each according to our abilities, according to our who we are and who he's created us to be. And he's given each of those for us to have an abundant life. Jesus tells us that. I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. Are you living abundantly? And I don't mean, are you living lavishly? Do you drive a BMW and work 75 hours a week and have no family time, or, have 7 houses, but you have no relationship with Christ? Abundantly, do you have everything that you need? A roof, money, a food, clothing? And if you don't, what do you need to do to get those things? Like, the Lord has provided them. What's keeping you from getting them? Pride? You don't want to ask for help? I know for me, you know, we've been discussing ad nauseum, I'm sure, my financial disgustingness. I don't think that's the word I meant to use, but that's what happened. But a lot of how it got to the point it did is because my pride got in the way. And I didn't want to ask for help. I didn't want to admit that I had made so many financial mistakes, that I had just spent money that really wasn't mine. And, I just wanted to keep thinking, I can get myself out of this. I can fix this. I can fix this. I can fix this. Where Heather is going to talk a lot in this book about her fear of there never being enough. Mentally, she became like a hoarder of her money, and she kind of gave herself a self-imposed poverty, never buying anything new. Maybe that's not exactly the same that I've experienced, but there's a lot to be learned in this. And she actually writes in here that regardless of what your financial stumbling block is, there is, where did I put this? Where is it? I hate when I do that. When I change my, let's just stay focused. Allison, do you know how, there it is. I found it. I have, honestly, the book is all marked up. It's got little, what do you call those things? Post-it notes all over it. So whether our money issues center on overspending, under-earning, or a crisis of vocation, the problem is vagueness. And the solution, paradoxically, is not money, but rather clarity. Clarity around how much we spend and on what, how much we earn, and how much, if anything, we owe. That didn't come out right. So it's clarity around how much we spend and on what we spend, how much we earn, and how much we owe. If any. Yeah, well, mine's the whole thing about how much we owe. Clarity around our skills and their fair market value. Clarity around the fact that if we're self-employed, our most precious asset is ourselves. So we need to take care of our health, pay ourselves a salary, and give ourselves sick days and vacations. And she puts an exclamation point there. I am not one to take a vacation. So that explanation point right there, I think, was meant for me. Clarity around how we spend our time, she writes, Heather writes here in this book, Loaded, from Franciscan Media. Clarity around how we spend our time on the difference between working and earning, on our goals and on our vision, how we'd like our lives to look, but maybe haven't quite dared. The watchword is trust, and I mentioned that in the last segment. The goal is to surrender to a higher power than ourselves, Heather writes. Heather is a recovering alcoholic, so you might see some of that wording in here from her own struggle with alcoholism and her, the 12 steps and, you know, that giving it over to a higher power. And I think that is one of the things I struggled with myself. I did that with my eating, my spending. I didn't want to bother God with them. You know, like, first of all, it's like that embarrassment of having to, again, admit that you can't handle something. What is wrong with us? Why do we have such a hard time admitting we're not perfect, that we need help, that, you know, that we need God's grace to do things? I think 99% of the people I have talked to who have no faith in God, it's a block because of their pride. And that was the sin of Adam and Eve, right? Their pride of thinking they didn't, They wanted to be like God. They didn't need God. That there didn't need to be a higher power. They could be buddies. We could be in this together. Doesn't work like that. We first and foremost need to admit we need help. That we can't do it alone. That whatever we're doing isn't working. That has just been so critical in really the three major parts of my life lately that I have had to come to kind of a harsh reality with, that I needed God's help in, especially the money and the money, my weight, and even the way I spend my time. You know, feeling like I don't have what I need to get out of this mess, you know, just kind of waiting for God to send me the winning lottery ticket or some distant relative that I have no idea exists passing away and leaving me all their money. That happens. It's not going to happen to me, though. The Lord has given me great talents, as we see in the parable of the talents. He's given me all that I need. And now I need to go out and cooperate with those gifts that He's given me to multiply them. To have that abundant life that He's given me means to take full advantage of every gift and blessing He has put before me. Am I ever going to be filthy rich? I hope not. Because I think that it would keep that my poverty keeps me grounded and needing Christ. We think about St. Paul. I talked about that with Father Cameron when he was here last Friday, talking about his book, Made for Love, Loved by God, that we want to all think we can be free and that we can handle everything. But for some of us to be in charge means we forget we need God. And St. Paul reminds us that he would rather he had a thorn in his side. And we don't know what that is. It's left ambiguous. And I believe it's left ambiguous. So each of us can identify with our own thorn. For me, it's obviously poverty through my debt and through my weight problems. And many other things, my mental health issues, like my anxiety, all of those things keep me dependent on God. And I would love for the Lord to remove the thorn. And perhaps one or two of those may someday be gone. He's at least made them manageable for the most part. But I need His grace, His undeserved yet freely given self. Yeah, His undeserved yet freely given gift of God's holy self within me to manage those things, to have the abundant life I have discovered. I need Christ. When we come back, we're going to look more at Loaded by Heather King, Franciscan Media. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back. Please.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking today about Loaded, Money and the Spirituality of Enough by Heather King. This is the last live show for the week, tomorrow, Friday, July 1st. Oh my goodness, it's already July. This is insane. I know, I think that's such an old person thing to say, which kind of fits when it's me. Next week, I'm going to be even older. I never usually announce this, but I'm going to today. July 7th is my birthday, and I'll be 48 years old. It's insane. I don't even know how I got to that point. I feel only like I'm 46. Anyway, I hope you come on July 7th to the show to celebrate with me. I was going to take the week off, but my daughter goes back to work. I put my daughter to work because she's 10 and that's what I do. She goes back to school on July 5th. So I decided that that makes no sense to take the week off. I obviously, I thought she was off that week, but I was wrong. So I'm going to be here July 6th, 7th, and 8th. I'm going to be talking about Gary Zimak's book. I know, another opportunity to say Gary's name 10,000 different ways. So excited that he'll be joining me on July 8th. I love when last minute guests are available. Like I said, it's going to take that week off. And then I decided, you know what? I really think it would be fun to be here to share my birthday with you July 7th. I hope you'll call in and wish me a happy birthday. Write down the number now. 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. And as a birthday gift for me, maybe you can help me spread the word about Breadbox Media and A Seeking Heart. Go to breadboxmedia.com for more information about all the wonderful things that we're offering here, the other shows, download the app, and visit A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. If you haven't already liked that page, like it, send me a message, let me know that you are listening. If you have any prayer requests, and obviously, I don't even know what I was going to say, at any time, you need a prayer. I think that's what's going to say. Anytime you need a prayer, just let me know. Allison at breadboxmedia.com. I'm always, always here for you. If you've got any questions or you need book recommendations, we've got some really great books coming up. And I just need a little extra prayer for that project that I'm working on. Discerning. I think I know what the Lord is asking me to do, but I need to keep my pride down and my focus up. So your prayers for that is important, and so excited. Wait till you hear. You're going to love it. It benefits you too. Trust me. It benefits you too. So keep this in prayer as we move forward. Can't wait to tell you. I know, a little teaser, but I can't yet, which just shows me that the Holy Spirit is at work, because Allison never can keep things like that. And I keep good secrets. Like, I'm a very trustworthy person now. I got rid of my gossiping ways. That was a healing from the Lord. But I'm not always really good at keeping big announcements under my hat. But this time I know I'm meant to. And your prayers are just so valuable to me. So Loaded, Money and the Spirituality of Enough, Heather King. And we've been talking about just how the Lord provides. And that's a hard thing sometimes, to trust when the bills are piling up. And I was just thinking about trusting in God's providence, where our roof, we need a new roof, we need a new furnace. Both of us have 100,000 miles on our cars. I call mine a jalopy for a reason. I actually need to have it inspected today or tomorrow. And there's, you know, multiple lights on my dashboard. It looks like a Christmas tree. It's not supposed to. I mean, I had it checked out. It's safe to drive. There's nothing, but they really should be on there. So there's some repairs that are going to need to be done. And that makes me panic. That scares me. I don't know if you've ever been in that position. You know, Heather King is writing about her protection of her nest egg, and how she was so afraid to touch it because it gave her that false sense of security, and she didn't want to spend her money. Now, I kind of recognized as I was praying with this that we kind of share that. I don't want to spend my money either. So I spend everybody else's. I spend the credit card companies. I spend my husband, which I've come to spend my husband's money, which I've come to realize is really my money. So that didn't work out very well. I have no problem spending the mortgage company's money. So I kept refinancing and taking money out. Yet if I have a $20 bill in my purse, I have the hardest time spending it and giving it up. And I know that there's a lot of stuff going on in my head when it comes to this. Like, just talking about it kind of gives me a little anxiety, a little, you know, little butterfly in my stomach, because it's scary when I think about this roof and college. And, you know, just got a message during the break from my son's student loan. They just changed something. And now he only can take out so much. It's like, oh, just when you think you've got things figured out, there seems to be another, I don't know, caveat or problem. And it's just, it's overwhelming sometimes. And it could be easy for me, who has an anxiety disorder, to get very, you know, out of whack with it and just kind of spin with my fears and my anxieties. And not wanting to spend the cash really was this mental block, because I wasn't thinking about the whole situation. And I think that's where fear and anxiety comes from, because you don't give the whole situation the proper attention. You kind of just stop at a piece of it. Like, you just start to get anxious and worried, and you either close the bank account, you don't look at it anymore, you don't open the bills anymore. It's not a healthy way. Like, the Lord wants to walk you through this, because in it, first of all, he promises never to abandon you, never to forsake you. So he's going to always be there. Second, he's going to use it for good. Romans 8:28, he's going to use it for good. He's going to teach us something in this. He's going to grow virtue in us. Remember, the ultimate good is for us to be with him in heaven forever. So whatever he allows here, whatever he walks us through, is to get us to that point. There's where we need to be and where he wants us to be. Because no matter how much I worry, we're reminded in the Gospels, it's not going to add a moment to my lifespan. I have a finite time here. And what I choose to do with that time really does impact what comes beyond that. And that's hard sometimes to think about, because I'm here, I'm now. Again, that's that trusting the unseen and looking for God in the seen. He gives us the sacraments. He gives us signs and wonders. He gives us his word. And if you really seek him, you can find him. Like, I love seeking him in adoration, being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, being in a church. Those feelings are real. And, you know, looking for him in God's sentence, I think that's one of the greatest gifts the Lord has ever, ever, ever given me, is to be able to recognize him in God's sentence. You know, I might want to just ignore what's happening, be like, that was a really crazy coincidence. But if I allow my mind's eye to see the world as God sees it and to see God in it, I can never, ever ignore that that was him. You know, when you're thinking about somebody and they call you, or you're having, I remember one time, this example, my mother and I, as you know, we don't talk a whole lot, kind of a strained relationship. And there was one day I couldn't get her off my mind. I kept trying, not to be rude, but I kept trying to just shake it, because I just didn't feel like calling her. You know, sometimes it's difficult, really, for me to make that phone call. I never know what I'm going to be up against, or, you know, what feeling I'm going to have to just, because I don't think she means to say things to hurt my feelings. They just do. So this was a while ago now, and I just couldn't shake the thought. And I said, fine, I'll call her. And I don't think she didn't have email yet. So I actually had to pick up the phone and call her. And the minute she heard my voice, she started to cry. And that's not like her. I'm like, what's going on? She was like, I just prayed to God and asked him to please send me someone to talk to. Now, this is a woman who has a very superficial faith, but yet knew enough that she had to reach beyond herself and ask for help. And he provided. Now, I think of myself often as, ye of little faith. I know you might find that funny, considering I talk about God every day, and that I have a ministry reconciled to you, and that I blog about God, and I write about God, and I talk about God, and I go out and do presentations, and Speaking of which, August 13th, mark your calendar, Holy Family East Taunton. I want to see you there. It's a free event. You have no reason not to show. You have no excuses not to be there. God is such an integral part of our lives, but we have to open up our eyes to see him there. And once we do, we'll have our socks knocked off. That's been what I said lately. Like, God has just been knocking my socks off. I've tried to surrender. After reading Angels of God by Mike Aguilina, spending much, much more time in conversation with my guardian angel, asking for light, to be enlightened, to be guided, to be encouraged, just to have my heart directed to what God wants from me. Like, your angel's looking at God and she's looking at you. If there's anyone that's going to help you figure out these problems, it's going to be her. And part of the struggle for me has been having to admit I'm wrong. Having to admit I made mistakes, having to admit I have responsibility for my actions of spending all our money, to accept that things have to change, that I can't just go out and buy stuff to make myself feel better. And that's what I was doing. Where Heather made herself feel better by not spending, I made myself feel better by, you know, that new thing smell. It wasn't always a new car smell, but a new shirt or new shoes. Books, I have videos, just crazy amount of stuff I would buy. And I look around my house and I think, this is insane. Nobody needs this much stuff. I didn't hoard, I gave stuff away, but at one point it felt like the house was, you know, going to collapse from the weight of the things I was buying and the emotions I was trying to hide in those. God is so good. Come back. We've got more to talk about right here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. If you haven't already checked out Friend of the Show, I invite you over to breadboxmedia.com. First, download the app. Change the world. If you don't have the app, get it now. You can listen to the archived podcasts on there. You can listen to the show anywhere you go, which is pretty cool, in your car, on the beach, on vacation. As I said earlier, if you're trying to fall asleep, my husband says I have the perfect voice to knock you out. Just knock you right out until I giggle and startle you awake. Also there, you can check out Friend of the Show for $10 or more a month. You could become a premium member of any Breadbox Media show that you like. I hope you pick A Seeking Heart. And if you do, you get to pick a squirrel or a rosary bracelet. You get extra entries in every weekly giveaway, which it will be weekly again, I promise. Big one coming from Franciscan Media. So grateful to all the publishers that helped me make these giveaways possible. You also get to be part of our monthly Google Hangout. We had a ball last night. It was so much fun. It's the last Wednesday of each month at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So you get to join us there. And there'll be some other exclusive content coming on my Breadbox Media page. My Breadbox Media page. Yes, that's right. So I hope you will check that out. Friend of the Show, breadboxmedia.com. So I'm going to pick back up where I was again in Heather King's book, Loaded. She writes, the watchword is trust. The goal is to surrender to a power higher than ourselves. The underlying principle is love. We begin believing that the money won't run out. We start depriving ourselves in order to make someone else happy, or out of fear that this is the one last job, apartment, love interest, opportunity. We start paying back our creditors if we have any. I have a lot of them. And we also treat ourselves to a movie or a wedge of good cheese or a nice bar of soap. Again, Heather's issues with money was that she had this fear of giving it up. So she held on to her nest egg and lived very precariously, hoarding, not hoarding, but, you know, not getting new clothes, not really enjoying the abundance of the life that the Lord wants us to have. It's like, this has to be a balance. You know, as Heather was a spendthrift, I was quite the opposite, spending other people's money, not my own, the creditors, the banks, my husband's. And so it's been a very painful yet beautiful journey, accepting that I don't have a clue, that I need help, swallowing my pride, admitting that I need to learn how to track. One of the things that I've noticed very consistently with each of my issues, from weight to money to time management, all comes down to being accountable and to those things, by tracking. Basically, is what I'm trying to say, is I needed to, I have the Weight Watchers app, and I track what I eat every day. It's very easy for me to lie to myself and think, well, I barely ate this week. How did I gain 7,000 pounds? I don't know how that happened. It's very easy to go, oh yeah, well, I had that cupcake on Sunday along with two beers, and you know, I hit my calorie accounting, well, they don't count calories in Weight Watchers, but I hit my allotment of points. But yeah, I still felt like having that popcorn. And even though it was just five more points, it's five more points that I didn't have. It's easy for me to think that I use my time wisely until I say, well, I started the timer at 1 o'clock to do 15 minutes on Facebook, but yet now it's 4 p.m., it's easy to kind of lose ourselves if we're not being accountable. It's very easy for me to say, well, I barely spent any money, until I track it and go, oh, right, I'm going to have to eat seven times. I bought those new shoes. I gave, you know, and I'm kind of generous. I try to be generous with the money as well. But at the end, I need to really know what I'm spending, how I'm spending it, what I'm eating, how much of it I'm eating. Like, we just need to track. And that's, it's not easy. And for me, who has ADHD, who would rather do anything else but track stuff and keep, you know, and be accountable, I want to lie to myself. I just want to keep on lying. just keep on lying and have my way. But that's not maturity, and that's not helpful in any way, shape, or form. You know, I didn't take into account that my husband wanted to retire someday, and my behavior was taking away his heart's desire, and that's not fair. So one of the things that she writes about is, it's from Matthew's gospel, where your heart is, therein lies your treasure. And part of my discernment in this whole money thing is, you know, do I leave what I'm doing? You know, do I leave ministry? Do I leave talking about Christ to go back to my old vocations? Do I go back to childcare, or, you know, being an adjunct professor, teaching other people how to? As for when I left, I was working for a local state college, doing student visits and just supervising student teachers is what I was doing. Do I go back to that? Do I go back to being a paralegal? Do I leave all this behind to do to be able to pay off the bills? And then I realized that where my heart is, my treasure will be. And think about that. My heart is in ministry. My heart is for bringing you closer to Christ with me. If I put my heart there, and that's the heart, my heart's desires, the scriptures tell me the Lord delights in giving me my heart's desires, there's going to be a treasure there. Maybe it won't be the big treasure that helps me buy the BMW, but I believe there'll be the treasure that either keeps the jalopy on the road or helps me buy a little midsize car. You know, my treasure will be there, but I have to follow where God is leading me. And then he will provide. So where is your heart? Follow that, and there you'll find your treasure. And then once we find it, we have to be responsible with it. We have to be responsible with it. We have to give it to God. And, you know, part of that, again, the Angels of God book, Mike Aguilina, has been me accepting that God's will is not always going to be my will, but God's will is always going to be the best for me. And it might mean that I have to surrender a little bit. And she actually writes that. Let me go back to Heather King's book, Loaded. It says, But when worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word and it bears no fruit, and that's from Matthew 13. That's the parable of the sower where the seeds are sown, scattered, and different things happen. I'll give you the link to that, but I want to focus on Heather's words right now. But when the worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word and it bears no fruit, again, that's from the Matthew 13, Heather writes on, that was how my money issues manifested. I told myself I didn't care about riches, as no person bent on loving her neighbor as Christ loved us would, and yet I was obsessed with saving money. I wanted to bear fruit. I wanted to yield 100 or 60 or 30 or even 20-fold or 2-fold by letting go. But surrender is a funny thing. We can't make ourselves surrender, but we are invited to show up in order to be open to surrender. This is huge. Such an aha moment for me. Surrender to what Heather King writes in her book, Loaded, to another way, to let a power greater than us be in charge as we continue to take actions, to be transformed into someone and something we can't imagine, because if we could imagine it, we'd tried to manage and control and thereby sell ourselves short. And if we're having trouble admitting complete defeat, maybe we could think of it as a play on the word admit. I love this. Admit also means allowing entry to a place, fellowship, or community. What are you willing to admit to yourself? What are you allowing God to do in you? Each section, by the way, ends with this great list of actions. I love me some lists. I love me a to-do list. I wanted to share as we close up with Heather King's book, Loaded, Franciscan Media today, with the activities, the actions I found on page 55. Just a few of them that were really of interest to me. Number one was list 5 things. Of course, I closed the book because I was all excited to read you my answers. There we are. Why we put sticky notes in the books. Make a list of 5 things you've been telling yourself you're going to do for over a year. Cleaning out the garage, getting dental implants. Those are some of the things she offered. My list included, and these are like, I have perpetual to-do list that I have, like I found one from like 1993 and, or 1997, 1990. Like none of them change. It's like, I just keep rewriting the same list. So I think it's time to cross these things off my list. Some of these things which would be very helpful in the money problems were to find things to sell and actually sell them. To declutter a closet, then I might find even more things to sell and actually sell them. Play with my kids more, work a little less. Number 2 was to look at a list 10 situations or personal characteristics in your life that by yourself you have the power to change, and then 10 that you don't. And I realized that some of mine kind of fit into both lists, procrastination being number 1. I need God's grace to fix this. Again, grace is the undeserved yet freely given gift of God's Holy Spirit within us. And it comes, you know, through prayer, asking God. Because God's grace is abundant, but we need to ask for it. I need God's grace to help me to not be idle, to be more diligent, to give him over and surrender these problems, my weight, my money, whatever, even my, you know, lack sometimes of wanting to pray. I need to give that all to him and ask for his grace, because his grace will move me. It will get me unstuck and move me forward. I've so enjoyed my conversation for these 2 days with Loaded, Heather King's new book from Franciscan Media. I hope you have too. I hope you have a blessed holiday weekend, and we'll see you right back here Wednesday, July 6th. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.